It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, March 9th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Delta Montrose Electric Association has decided to embrace the Region 10 plan to bring fiber optic internet to the Western Slope. Region 10 recently gave a presentation to DMEA outlining what they think is the best way to provide high-speed internet to businesses, schools, hospitals, and homes. Region 10 plans on applying for a grant from the Department of Local Affairs to help. Virginia Harmon with DMEA says the board approved the plan if they get the grant.
The board of DMEA met for a special meeting, and they adopted a resolution that allows us to participate in Region 10's grant application process. So they are applying for a grant through DOLA for funds to help bring broadband to the region, you know, which includes the counties of Delta and Montrose, which we serve. So our board's resolution basically just allows us to participate in that. It has some details as far as, you know, what we will be offering, what benefits we offer Region 10 and what benefits they offer us in return. But most of our contribution is in-kind type of contribution. And that resolution will be in effect when Region 10 receives the grant. So it's all dependent on Region 10 actually receiving the DOLA grant.
She says that for the most part, DMEA's contribution is simply allowing the unused portion of its fiber to be used for internet.
The resolution does allow for the lighting of DMEA's fiber assets to Albuquerque. And lighting those assets would bring additional affordable bandwidth into the region.
There's still snow on the ground, but that's not stopping people from enjoying a new water park on the Western Slope. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
The city of Montrose has finished construction 2 months ahead of schedule on its water sports park. The recreation area is now open to the public. The park utilizes a section of the Uncompahgre River. Montrose created wave stimulators so people could kayak, paddleboard, raft, and swim in the waves. City engineer Scott Murphy explains how it works.
We tried to make it as natural looking as possible, so each wave stimulator has a lot of natural stone boulders that run up on each side onto each bank of the river. And then right in the middle of those, each one is a concrete box, about 15 by 15 feet, kind of serves to control and make that wave what they want it to be.
In order to make the waves, the city rerouted the river during its low period and dug into the riverbed to install the concrete boxes. Those boxes are now covered by earth, water, and stone, changing the course of the river to add more waves. Additionally, the park has two rock climbing boulders and fish habitat. Montrose is also home to a large veteran community. Murphy says the city worked with Welcome Home Montrose to ensure that the park would be accessible to disabled veterans and others interested in adaptive athletics. For KVNF, I'm Laura Palmisano.
Have you ever wondered how much your ring finger is worth to you? Or how much your thumb costs? Data compiled by ProPublica shows what the maximum compensation a worker would receive if they were hurt on the job. The piece focusing on workers' compensation shows that prices vary widely by state. Colorado, for example, pays above average for a severely injured or amputated hand, over $160,000. Losing a thumb, though, would only be compensated about $14,000. That's less than a third of the national average. The same thumb would be worth over $100,000 in New Hampshire or Illinois. Lawmakers in the House initially passed a bill to ban conversation therapy for LGBT youth. The measure still needs a final vote in the House. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
House Bill 1175 would ban therapists and counselors from trying to change a young person's sexual orientation. Democratic Representative Paul Rosenthal of Denver, who is himself gay, is the bill's sponsor.
It would be illegal under this bill for a therapist to say, you should be something other than who you are.
But Republican Representative Kathleen Conte of Littleton opposes the bill, asking, what if a youth wants conversion therapy?
Does a minor have the right to come into a therapist and say, I have unwanted sexual attractions?
New Jersey and California have passed similar legislation. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, the past 2 weeks of snowfall have done a lot to bolster the snowpack in Colorado. A dry January and most of February left the snowpack dangerously low. Even with the recent precipitation, though, most of the snowpacks across the state are still below average. The San Juan, Animas, Dolores, and San Miguel Basin is still only at 68% of the average, the lowest in the state. Across Colorado, reservoir storage is at 105%. And finally, things might be changing pretty drastically at six schools in Mesa County. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
Mesa County School District 51 is trying some new ideas. The district is poised to begin a pilot program to test out a new type of school structure. This is Superintendent Steve Schultz.
We're just really excited to be continually looking for ways to better prepare our students for the future they're going to enter. Truly be able to compete in a global economy, be ready for the workforce, be ready for college if that's what they choose to do. So we've been studying and looking for different instructional strategies that might help support that in a better way. And we've been working on this for actually a couple of years, and we've discovered some interesting promise with a program that would allow students to progress at their own pace.
The model they've settled on is described as a performance-based system.
The traditional classroom is based on a model that was developed more than 100 years ago, and it was really designed to prepare students for the industrial age. Well, that's not what we're in now. We need to get them ready to operate effectively in the information age.
According to Schultz, the model will allow students having difficulty with one subject or area to focus on that without getting pushed on, and other students who quickly grasp a concept to move on to the next challenging topic.
Eventually, there wouldn't be grade levels as we know them. Students would, again, be able to progress when they demonstrated that they had mastered something. And if they need more time or more instruction and practice, they would be able to get that. If they had mastered something, they'd be allowed to move on ahead. And so they wouldn't be limited by grade level or even age. It's a more personalized, individualized approach.
But with each child on a different, individualized path, the current teacher model would have to change too.
Teachers will still be working with students. There'll still be direct instruction as there is now. But the groups will be more flexible. And so rather than say, okay, here's 30 sixth graders, you're going to have a group of kids that are working at the same expectation level, if you will, in the given content areas. So the teachers will still be working together and collaborating. It's not, gee, here's your 30 kids, you're on your own. It's much more interactive. You'd still have basically the same staff at a school. They would just be configured and deployed differently.
He says he's gotten a lot of questions from parents, but they've all come around to the idea. The pilot program will run in six schools in District 51, although they haven't been named yet. Schultz says the program will take several years to get completely up and running as it's intended. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.